Well, good morning, Saints of God. This is Ty Moore once again bringing you your online Bible school for Grace Institute. And we are sharing these lessons with our other discipleship group, PowerPoint Motivation Word, PowerPoint Discipleship, and Favor Media. We want to welcome you also as we will have this lesson upload to our podcast of Grace Institute Online Bible School. So at the end of this lesson, once again, you'll be able to upload this lesson on Grace Institute Online Bible School on your favorite podcast if you desire to listen to it over again. So I want to say good morning to you. Thank you, Brother George. Good morning. Let's make our faith confession. Let's say it out loud once again. For the Lord is good, and his mercy endureth forever, whom the Lord has redeemed from the hand of the enemy. And so I want to say once again, good morning. That's you and I. We'll continue our lesson in, as we started Monday morning, about how faith works. All last week we talked about what faith is. This week we are talking about how faith works. In other words, I know what it is now. How do I get it to work? How do I know that the faith of Christ in me is working? Why? Because there are many ups and downs throughout the day, throughout your emotions, throughout how you think. And those things are distraction. They are tools that Satan will use as a mean of deception, distraction. And the other one would be suggestion. He uses those tools. Those are his tools that he used to do what? He can't get you and I. He can't, you know, curse us. He can't steal from us. He can't take away from us. He has to get us to steal, to kill, to take away from ourselves through distraction, suggestion. And when he does that, what it does, he put it in a place whereas that we are the ones that self-destruct because Jesus already defeated him. But if he see that we are so overwhelmed at what is taking place or what is going on right now in our lives, then he don't care. He's going to use the opportunity to do what? Again, his greatest weapon is suggestion, deception, and distraction. Those three things he uses to do what? To bring confusion, to bring us to a place that we will self-destruct. But once we have an understanding of how he uses these things against us when we find ourselves in a pickle place, so to speak of, then we're going to use our voice to praise him. Because Romans 6:16 says, "To know ye not to whom you yield yourself servants?" In other words, you and I are the subject to whom we yield ourselves subject or to whom we become subject to, whether the situation that is at hand, where distraction, where deception, and where distraction can take place, or we yield ourselves to obedience to the righteousness of God by faith. In other words, we have to make the decision in whom we're going to yield ourselves, become a servant to. Am I going to allow my mouth to become the servant of doubt, of unbelief because of how I feel, because of the report that I heard? Or am I going to allow the word to be the final authority? Which says, the Apostle Paul said in Philippians 4:8, for us to do what? To think on these things. What thing? Things that are pure, things that are lovely, things that are just. So in other words, when Paul, the Apostle Paul, is trying to get you to think on these things, in other words, because this is what the kingdom of God represents. It represents purity. It represents kindness. It represents love. Right? It represents everything that is without any defilement in it. And that's the purpose of our new birth. See, the new birth is without defilement. The new birth is perfectly enclosed within us where sin can't get to it. Our spirit, our nature that's born of God. But then sin can still get through our soul. It can still get through our thought life. And that's where you are able to go to 1 John 1:9. And the Bible said, if we confess our fault, he is faithful. He is just to do what? To forgive and to cleanse us. Why? Because you've already been forgiven, past, present, and future tense of sin. But the forgiveness of sin, the purpose of your confession of the wrong is so what? It's so that it will not harm relationship that you have with others. That's the purpose. And then not only that, but then more than that, it is also we look at the word and the word begins to paint us a different picture than the attitude that we had toward a situation. So my repentance is not only just because I violated a relationship or maybe I spoke wrong to my wife. Now, I also want to repent and make it up. Okay? But it's bigger than that. As you study the word of God and you see the, what the word of God has to say, but as it says, we all have cares that wants us to carry. But then the scripture says in 1 Peter 5:8 to cast all of your cares upon him, for he cares for us. Well, now, I may have been carrying all of my cares, carrying all of my whatever it is that I'm that's upon me, because I'm thinking I'm being what? Responsible. I'm thinking I'm being proactive. You know, I'm thinking that I'm I am a plus in society. And I get it from the natural, but from a spiritual point of view, no, you are dead to yourself and you belong to Christ. And this is the reason why he said, if any man be in Christ, you are a new creation. That means he's the one that bore all of your care along with your sins and sickness and disease. So if he said, cast your care upon him because he cared for you, then guess what? I am to cast my care upon him by doing what? By faith. How do I cast that care? Lord, I have carried this financial load for a long time, if it's money. And Lord, it's not, I can see, I get some rest, but I'm still struggling with this. So, Lord, your word says for me to cast the whole of my care upon you. You said, give and it shall be given. I'm a giver. And it shall be given back unto you. Good measures, pressed down, shaken together, running over. So now I have to make a decision. So therefore what I do, I repent. Lord, I cast this care upon you. Why? Because my repentance is that I see what the word says. And now I am no longer going to go back when the feeling or the thought or maybe I hear a negative report that's trying to get me to do what? To cater to that. Nope. I said no. Why? Because I've already taken the word, 1 Peter 5:7-8. I cast the whole of that care. I may want to say, starting at verse 6, where it says to humble yourself, see, before the mighty hand of God. I humble myself by doing what? By confessing that Jesus already bore this. He's already took care of my financial shortage, lackage, whatever. And then what I do, once I confess that he's already done that, I'm repenting of that. And then that's why I can cast the whole of that care financially upon him. Why? Because I didn't put myself in this position. Sometimes we do. But even if you did, you still have a way out as the Holy Spirit will lead you. You just don't go back and do that, or repeat that again. Okay, because you may not, you know, it may not, you may not survive it the next time. But the point that I want to make to you is about how faith works. This is how it works. You look at and I'm just kind of explaining things to you because we're going to go back to the story that we were talking about yesterday. And just putting some laws in place for you to understand, because of how many times did we say, well, we do it by faith. We live by faith. Just act on it by faith. I mean, in the early days of me growing up as a believer, I can't tell you how many times I heard that. Just do it by faith. Just live by faith. Just act on it by faith. And some things turned out right, and some things didn't turn out so right. I had to work it. But why? Because I didn't really have the understanding about what it is to live by faith in all of those different areas. See, sometimes you could have, you know how to live by faith in certain things, but then there are times that your mindset is not always set in a way that what you did 6 months ago or a year ago, that it can continue to duplicate again this time of the year. So when we say live by faith, we're saying you're living by the word of God that you have embraced, the truth of what God's word says, and you have made it personally your own. Because why? You have to, number one, you have to put your eyes on it. Number two, you have to hear yourself say. What are you hearing yourself saying? What the word said, not about the situation. Because the more you hear yourself speak in the negative about your situation, then guess what? Faith is increasing for the negative, for the fear, for the doubt. Why? Because you're constantly saying, well, I just don't know if it's going to turn out. Well, I just know it ain't going to happen for me. I just know, well, look what's going on. Look what didn't happen now. It's just getting worse and worse and worse. Let's just prepare for the worst. People do this all the time. Biblical people do this all the time. And I'm just saying that, if we're going to put our trust in the word, in God, you're going to have to put your trust in his word as well. Excuse me. You got to have the word of God on it. Why? Because when that time of doubt, or you get that negative report, whatever that may be, you have a way to counter it. See, if you don't have a way to counter that thought, that feeling, that emotion, it will pull you down even further. So when you have the word, it has to let you go. Why? Because that's what Jesus died for. For your freedom. For my freedom. For our liberation. So you can't walk human. You can't walk liberated if you're still bound by an action. And that's what the enemy does. Now, he don't know you bound by it. He just keeps sending fiery darts. He just keeps sending different fiery darts. And as he sends those fiery darts to you and I, then guess what? He's trying to see which one is going to take, which one is going to land. And if he see that you are partaking of that, then now he realized that you're going to be acting upon the thing that you're hearing. So what I'm saying to you is that this is how thank you so much. This is how faith works. Faith is an act. But when we say faith is an act, act on what? Faith is acting on the word. What is faith? It's a belief. I believe that this is the word of God. I believe that Jesus is Son of God. I believe that God is the creator of heaven and earth. I believe that the Holy Spirit of God is at work in you and I today. So when you know that, faith is relying, faith is trusting on the truth of what you know about his word. That's what faith is. It's a knowing. Amen. When I say a knowing, not just an intellectual knowing that it's in the Word, but when I say it's a knowing, faith is a knowing. Knowing what? You have a revealed knowledge. It's revelation knowledge. It's understanding that what I'm hearing, okay, I'm ready to stand. I'm ready to stand in this situation. Why? Because I got revelation knowledge that, hey, Jesus already paid the price for it, and I'm just going to allow the entrance of his word to be light to my path. Amen. So, as we go back to the fifth chapter of the book of Mark, let's go back over here to Mark chapter 5. And we left off yesterday in sharing with you that how giving you steps of faith that put this man in a place of trusting God for the healing of his son. The first thing that we said here, that this man, the first thing he did when he saw that Jesus was coming back across to the other side, this man came and he humbled himself. He knelt down before Jesus as a leader. It doesn't make a difference what our status is. When you are trusting God at his word, you got to understand that the humanity side of us sometimes carries a lot of pride. It carries a lot of fear. It carries a lot of arrogancy, doubt, and all these different things. Why? Because it's that part of us that hadn't been born again. And it's that part of us who want to act up on its own whatever. But when you have something that affects you to the core, whereas like your son or your daughter, and you know that there is, you know, they could die. They're at the point of death. Well, you're not going to be playing any type of religious game. You're not going to be playing any type of games at all. You come into the place where it's real. Lord, I'm humbling myself. Yes, I'm a religious leader, but that right now is not important. My daughter is at the point of death. And we showed you these steps yesterday, and I just want to briefly go back. The first thing it said in verse 22, that his name was Jairus, and when he saw him, he fell down in his feet. So the first thing he did, he saw him, right? He said, well, how do I see Jesus? The word. The word, Jesus, this word that I'm reading is Jesus right now. It's the word of God. As I said yesterday, in the beginning was what? John 1:1, the word. And the word was what? With God. And the word was God. So the first thing he did, J.R., notice this. Behold, cometh one of the rulers of the synagogue. So we knew that he was a ruler of the synagogue. Okay. And then notice it. His name was J.R. And when he saw him, see, when he saw him, notice what he did. He fell at his feet. He submitted himself. He humbled himself. And then it said, and he besought him greatly, saying, that's the fourth thing. He besought him, meaning this, I'm not just humbling myself for, no, this is serious. My daughter is at the point of death. We know the story because we have read it. But I'm just trying to show you how to release your faith, how you act on faith, how you live by faith, how faith work. You can't come to God with arrogance. You can't come to God with your own pride or with your own human boastfulness or whatever your financial status is. You may be the richest man on the earth. No. Well, you know, they had this guy named, he was a captain of the army, of the Syrian army. And I'm trying to think of his name right now. And he was a leper. And the prophet sent his servant out and told him what to dip in the water or in the pool of the Jordan. Well, the prophet never came out. So this man, thinking because he was someone of importance, he wanted Elisha, the prophet, to come out and address him and pay humbles to him. But Elisha didn't have the need. It was, I'm trying to think of his name. But, you know, he had the need. And because he looked at the prophet as saying, "Don't you know who I am? I'm a captain of the Syrian army. I just won this great battle for you." And his own servant had to come and tell him. And I think it's 2 Kings 5. And told him, he said, "Oh, master," he said, if he would have told my lord," which is the servant is talking to his the captain of the host, "of some great thing to do, you would have done it." So it was his way of getting his attention, letting him know, you got to humble yourself in this situation, because you're the one with the leprosy. And he told him to go and dip 7 times. So he reminded him, by him being in authority, then this man is in authority also. And so his own servant got him to recognize and understand, just like people humble themselves under you, you got to humble yourself to this man of God, because he has the word of God. You came to him. Can y'all see that? I'm thinking of his Naaman. That's his name, Naaman. And he was a leper. This is 2 Kings, it is 2 Kings 5. And look at it, just go over there for a moment. Let's just go to show you this right here, just going to show you how faith works. It said, "Now Naaman, a captain of the host, the king of Syria, was a great man, with his master, and honorable, because by him the Lord had given deliverance unto the Syrian, and he was also a mighty man of valor, but he was a leper." Okay. "And the Syrian had gone out of companies and had brought away captives out of the land of Israel, and a little maid, and she waited on Naaman's wife." That means that the damsel girl is from Israel. She knew of Elisha, and she was the maid of Naaman's wife. And see, look how God connected for his healing, for his deliverance. See, it's never the will of God for anyone to live sick or to live in pain. But notice this. He said, verse 3, "And she said unto her mistress, would God, my Lord, were with the prophet that is in Samaria, for he would," watch this, "receive him of his leprosy." Wow. Can you hear that? That means he will get healed. And notice this. And one went in and told the Lord, saying, "Thus and thus said, that there is in the land of Israel, and the king of Syria said, go." And notice this. "Go, and I will send a letter to the king of Israel." And he departed and took with him talents of silver, 6,000 pieces of gold and 10 changes of raiment. And he besought that brought the letter to the king of Israel, saying, well, that's another thing. But we don't have that kind of respect and honor today because we think that, you know, you're paying for a healing or you're paying for a service. But this man right here just knew that Naaman knew that you don't approach a king or someone of high up authority without bringing forth the gift. Well, we still do that today in some way, but that's kind of way, that's kind of lost out to the body of Christ today. And, you know, that's another teaching for itself. But notice this. In verse 6, he said, and he brought the letter to the king of Israel, saying, now when the letter is come unto thee, behold, I have therewith sent Naaman, my servant, to thee, that thou mayest recover him from leprosy. And it came to pass that when the king of Israel had read the letter, he rent his clothes and said, am I God to kill and to make alive? He said, thus this man does send unto me to receive a man of his leprosy. Wherefore, consider, I pray you, and notice it, and see how he seeketh a quarrel against me. Why? Because this go to prove you right here. Only healing comes from God. And that king knew. He said, ain't no need you come to me. I can't do this. He thought it was a setup. Watch this. In verse 8, and he said, and it was so when Elisha, the man of God, watch this, heard that the king of Israel had rent his clothes, that he sent to the king, saying, wherefore hast thou rent thy clothes? Let him come now to me, and he shall know that there is a prophet in Israel. Glory to God. Can y'all see that? I mean, this is how faithful. And now, the anointing came up on these men older. The principle is the same about how faith worked, but they were only able to minister as the Spirit came upon them. So the Spirit of God didn't come upon them. That means he was called as a prophet. So therefore he called as a prophet or as a king. That was an anointing rest upon them to do. Well, you and I have the prophetic anointing, and all of us as believers have all the fullness of the Spirit of God inside of us to heal, to cast out devil, or you understand, to raise the dead. So, but I'm reading this to you because only certain men back then had this anointing upon them, but the principle of the matter is the same. And but look at how Elisha said, he said, hey, tell the king, you don't have to be upset. Send this man to me. And look at this. So Naaman came with the horses and with the chariots, and he stood at the door of Elisha. Here we go. And Elisha sent his messenger unto him, saying, go and wash in the Jordan 7 times, and thy flesh shall come again to thee, and thou shalt be clean. That's the instruction. That's the faith. What was the faith? Go and wash in the Jordan, how many times? 7. And your flesh shall come again to thee and be cleansed. This is where you got to humble yourself, because remember, he's a king. Naaman is a captain of the army. And look at verse 11. Now Naaman was wroth, and he went away and said, behold, I thought that he will surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God and strike his hand over the plate. Over the place and receive the leper. And recover the leper. Now think about this for a moment. You see how arrogant this man was? Even though it was the Lord that empowered him to overcome the battle for Israel, But yet at the same time, he looked at it as though it was his own hand, it was his own power, by his own might that got him this victory. This is how we as human beings are at times. We forget it's the Lord. If the Lord is not at work in you, both saved and unsaved. Unsaved just have very little understanding about it is God that's giving you the ability to do what you do, even though you don't recognize him. But those of us who are born again, this is where I'm speaking to. I'm speaking to those, to you and I, because you are born again, and there are times that we don't give the Lord the credit. We don't give the Lord the praise. We complain more about how we hurt, how we don't have this money, how we don't have this, how we don't have that. But when we do that, we don't recognize, what are we doing? We're cutting off the Spirit of God from working on our behalf as children of God. What you're doing, you're holding back the blessing. You're holding back the empowerment of what you're supposed to, how you're supposed to behave, what you're supposed to have in your life. This guy, Naaman, is doing the same thing. Now, rather he come and humble himself and say, okay, whatever the man of God said, I'm going to do it. Because he's the one that has the authority. He's the one that has the anointing. To do what? To relieve him of his leprosy, because God gave it to him. But because he himself is a captain of an host, and God was the one with him in this battle, he now think that God should honor him, or the man of God should look at him in a special way. No, no. Saints, don't ever put yourself in a place of thinking that this belonged to you, or this should have happened to you, or you should respect me in this manner. I'm talking about spiritual things and this and that and that. You know, no. No. We should always walk in humility. We should always walk with an humble heart, with a thankful heart, with a grateful heart. That's what the blessings of God is. That's what the power of God is released, is through your thanksgiving. It's through your thankfulness. It's you being gracious. And knowing God will use people. It may be someone you don't even like. But if you have a grateful heart, if you have a thankful heart, God could use that person, because you'll get past the personality and receive the kindness of God for your healing, for your deliverance, whatever that may be. And let me finish with this. And look at verse 12. He said, am not Abana, Pophar, the rivers of Damascus better than all the waters of Israel? May I not wash in them? Look what he wants to do. He wants to wash what he wants to wash. Don't that sound like you and I today? That's human nature. Why should I go to the pool of Jordan? See, he's still fighting, but he's the one that's with leprosy. Can you see it? He's the one with the leprosy, but yet he's still, this is why faith doesn't work for us as fluently as we want, because we still want it our way. We're still fighting from a human perspective of what should be happening for me, or how you should handle me, how you should speak with me. Don't sound like humility. Don't sound like you humbling yourself. He wants to dip in the water where it's look better. And look at this. In verse 13, and notice it. And his servant came near and spoke unto him and said, my father, if the prophet would have bid thee to do some great thing, would thou not have done it? And he said, how much rather then when he said to thee, wash and be clean? See, his own servant had to remind him about authority, about understanding. And then he went down and dipped himself seven times into the Jordan, and according to the saying of the man of God, Notice this. His flesh came again, and like unto the flesh of a little child, and he was cleansed. And he returned. And he returned to the man of God and said, all his company, and came and stood before him and said, behold, now I know that there is no God in all the earth but in Israel. Now, therefore, I pray thee, take a blessing of thy servant. But he said unto him, as the Lord thy God liveth, whom I stand and whom I receive, I receive none. And he urged him to take it, but he refused it. Why? Because everything he had was leprosy, had leprosy in it. But the servant, which is Gehazel, and we won't talk about that's another lesson, he went behind the prophet's back. But my point that I want to show you in this lesson about how the steps of faith work. Did you see the steps of faith that had to be, that this man had to go through? What was the first thing? He looked at himself bigger than life, because why? When you go back and you look at the story, it, you know, it's only just 16 verses that you need of, as 14 verses that you could read in there. And look at, don't just read the script, look at the steps of faith that had to be taken, that he had to humble himself. And when you look at that and you realize, put yourself in that position and ask yourself, have I humbled myself to walk in the blessing of God for that the faith that I have of Jesus Christ to be activated in my life? Or am I still fighting to do things my way? Am I still struggling to fighting for my stance? That's the thing that you have to ask yourself. Because when you humble yourself before Almighty God, that means you're going to look at what the Word said. And that's what, that's the only reason why Naaman that got cleansed of his leprosy, because he humbled himself. And when he did that, the Word of God activated and he was cleansed, because he dipped 7 times in the water that God, the anointing was at. See, it doesn't make a difference, you know, because you go to this place or you may be at that place or that. No, when God began to direct you because you got the crisis and he's trying to bring you out because of the cry of your heart. But he may lead you to a place, a church, or whatever that you don't really care to be a part of. But God don't have the issue. You do. I do. And so what God is doing, he's answering the cry of your heart. God has already brought forth the deliverance, but you got to get to the place where the deliverance is, where the healing is, where the breakthrough is. That's where we have to humble ourselves, because why? It don't come in the light of what it appears, what we look for it to be, how we look for it to be. And I get it. But if you want the results that you cried out to Almighty God, then you're going to have to do it as the Holy Spirit begin to lead you and give you understanding. So what is that? The Holy Spirit, through my voice, is speaking to you now. He's the one that's going to give you revelation. He's the one that's going to settle things in your heart. And once he begin, once you open your heart and let him come in and just say, you know what? I'm not going to be fighting to keep this. I'm not going to be fighting to do this. I'm going to trust God at his word. I'm going to humble myself, and I'm going to walk in the light of this truth. Whatever God says to me or whatnot, that's what I'm going to do. Because when I follow God in the way that his word says, then I'm going to get the results. Amen. Look, I love you. I thank God for you. My time is up. We'll do it again tonight on my the church page called The Favorite Church. I have a favorite church page. And you can follow me on Facebook tonight, or you can follow us, you can join us live. Or at the end of this lesson, which is that we are now, I do have a podcast called Grace Institute Online Bible School. It's called Grace Institute Online Bible School. It will be uploaded to your podcast, whether you have Spotify, Google, Amazon Music, Apple Podcasts. It doesn't make a difference. I'm on all the major podcasts, and you put in at Grace Institute Online Bible School. This lesson that you listen to today It'll be uploaded and you can listen to it while you're at your workspace. Well, I love you. I thank God for you. And as we always say, until the next time, may God's best and his favor be with you. Bye-bye, everyone.